y'all? Welcome to this week's episode of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. I am your host, the one, the only, the Titty Whisperer, Trent. Welcome to another episode. And what will be the finale for this particular season of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. Yeah, as I said earlier in the month in one of my previous podcast episodes, there was eventually going to come a point where I took a break, where I ended the season and would pick back up after some time period. In particular, school has started for me again. I am back in school for my master's in counseling. And of course, it's online because COVID and all that good stuff, but I have a lot of fucking reading to do. Like, beyond just the assignments I'm probably going to have and the ones that I'm aware of, I just have a lot of fucking reading to do. Of my reading so far that I'm aware of, there are two that I want to mention before we get into this week's podcast episode. There's The Body Keeps the Score. I haven't actually read that one yet, but I will be this weekend because I have a midterm about it, so I have no choice. I got to read the book, although it was already in my book list anyways, which is always interesting when I have a book in my book list of just endless books that I want to read involving psychology, and one of those books ends up being a textbook for me, or ends up being a textbook for that class. For a class in my program, it's quite awesome because then it's like I get to read the shit that I wanted to read in the first place anyways. The Body Keeps the Score. I kept hearing about it. I keep getting rave reviews about it, so I'm sure I'm going to enjoy that one. And I've already begun reading The Boy Who Was Raised as a Dog. I've only read the first chapter in the introduction, but oh my God, like so much information, but It's not one of those books that you have to be well-versed in psychology to understand everything. It literally breaks down some very key concepts that even any layperson could pick up the book. And as long as you have at least some reading skills, you can understand exactly what's going on. Both books involve trauma. That's one of the classes I'm taking this semester, Crisis and Trauma Management. And I have a feeling it's only going to get more interesting. So yes, do yourself a favor, pick up the Boy Who Was Raised as a Dog. It's on Amazon. It's not that expensive. Give it a shot. Like I said, I'm one chapter in, and if it weren't for the fact that I have to work and try to work out and, you know, try to be a legit adult trying to do this adulting thing right, I probably would have stayed up late last night until like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and read the entire book. Because that's how interesting it was to me that the times that I did try to read it before work, on my lunch break, I legit didn't want to put the book down. I wanted to be like, how many more pages can I eke out? How many more chapters can I eke out? You know, I really wanted to keep going. So, yeah, I feel like that book is going to be very interesting and it's going to teach me some amazing things about trauma and trauma-informed care. So pick those up. But yeah, this is going to be the last episode of the season. You will not hear my beautiful voice until December, I believe. I decided I'm going to make the start of the next season of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs start after finals. Like after finals, when I actually have some room to breathe, I'll be back with more episodes. And don't think that means I'm just going to be Kool-Aid and only working on schoolwork and regular work and trying to live life. But in the process of me being gone, well, I'll explain that more at the end of this episode. I want to get into this week's episode. So for my last episode before I bow out for a couple of months, I want to talk about self-care again. I believe I have an episode where I discuss self-care somewhere in the episode. I probably should know what episode number it is. I do not. Not even going to front like I do. I don't. But there is an episode where I discuss self-care and the importance of self-care. So this first part is going to be a rehash. But assuming I have enough material to get me into a second half, the second part of this episode should be more of a new viewpoint, some new material on self-care or a different kind of self-care. So what is self-care? It's exactly what it sounds like. It's caring for yourself. The thing is, I'm very much so an advocate for self-care. I feel like it's one of those things that ever since somebody brought it to my attention of exactly what self-care is, caring for yourself and doing the things to make sure that you're okay, and working on your coping skills and paying attention to yourself and how you react to things, and when you're not, self-monitoring your emotions, your feelings, and all those, and your health, that, you'll break down and you'll run yourself into the ground. I think once I, well, ever since somebody, ever since that concept has been brought into my life, I've been a huge advocate for it. Like, I personally believe self-care is one of those things that should be a subject in school. In school, since, up through 12th grade, school is mandatory. You ain't got no choice. You gotta take your raggedy ass to school whether you want to or not. I mean, you could skip, but that's not what this podcast is gonna advocate for. Up till 12th grade, you have to go to school. It's mandatory. So I feel like since it's mandatory there anyways, you may as well make it mandatory that self-care is taught at different ages. At different age-appropriate levels, we need to be teaching self-care. That when kids are going to college and paying for this expensive-ass college education, this expensive higher education, self-care should be taught. At work, well, no. I would say they should teach self-care at work, but the problem with that is actually it's that would actually be an oxymoron, because jobs don't give a fuck about you caring about yourself. All they care about is you bringing your ass to work and clocking in and working and doing work for them. That's what the fuck they care about. If you've ever worked retail, you know this lesson well, that most jobs and most companies don't really give a shit about you as far as your health. They'll say they care about your health. They'll say they care about their employees, but in truth, when you deal with the supervisors and the managers and the job situations that you have to deal with, especially for retail workers and fast food workers and anybody on these, a lot of people on these front lines, they don't give a shit about your health. They care about you bringing your ass in to work your shift. That the moment you say you can't come in to work your shift, think about it. Have you ever had a boss that said, "You know what, if you don't feel good, don't come in"? So, I'm not saying that these kind of places don't exist. There are obviously bosses and companies that truly believe if you don't feel well, don't come in. And they really mean that. They're like, "Oh, you don't sound too good. You maybe should not come in." No, most places, you know what they're going to tell you? "Oh, you don't sound so good. You think you can come in for a few hours, maybe? Huh? Like, you sure you don't feel well? Like, we don't have anybody to really cover, so are you absolutely sure you can't come in?" And they will, oh my God, they will, "Baby, please, baby, please, baby, 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 please you of coming in, of to come into work." Even if they hear you sick as a dog, they don't really give a fuck. They just need coverage for their shift. But I digress. I could literally do a podcast just about that aspect alone, but that's not what we're here for. You gotta care about yourself because, well, a lot of other people won't. Your job won't necessarily care about yourself. And sad to say, family, friends, so-called lovers, some of these people will not give a fuck about you. That some of these people, family, friends, and otherwise, are only here for what you can do for them. So they don't really give a fuck about your self-care. They don't care about your boundaries. They don't give a fuck about any of that shit. They only care about what you can do for them. That the moment you can't do for them, you are useless. They're trying to get off the phone with you and get out of your face as soon as possible. It's the moment you say you can't do anything for them, or you've outlived your usefulness, or you've outlived your usefulness for that time. And then once you're back on your feet, they're back because they're like, oh, the gravy train's back. Let's see what I can get out of it today. You know, self-care is about you looking after you and putting yourself before anybody else. That is what true self-care is. There's levels to this shit, but true self-care is when you are willing to say no to any and everybody else and put your needs first. So, you know, and for some people, that's hard. For the people in this world who are considered to be givers, who are those unselfish people, self-care is hard because those people are usually the type of people that put everybody else before them, that they put their family and their friends and anybody else's needs before their own, that they will sacrifice themselves, put their body, their mind, their sometimes life on the line for other people's shit, to put other people's shit ahead of their own, even to the point of letting themselves get crushed in the process. And like I said, there are a lot of selfish people out here that will let you burn yourself out at their expense for their expense. And that as soon as you're completely burned out, they're gone. They've gotten what they need. They're happy and satisfied. They out. And so, you know, like I said, ever since somebody brought it into my world, it's everything to me. Like, I will put my care above anybody else's. And so I wanted to kind of rehash that topic of self-care. One place I wanted to go to is I have a board. See, me being in grad school for counseling, one of the dopest things that I can remember before I even got accepted into this program was that they were sending me emails about different things going on in the counseling world. And, you know, one of the emails that they sent me over time was, therapists need therapists. Everybody needs therapists. And I thought that was awesome because I'm sure there are people out there that truly believe, oh, if you're a therapist, why would a therapist need a therapist? You should, if you're supposed to be out here helping people, you should be of the tip-top shape in the world. Like, you can't see my hand, but I'm doing kind of the wavy, kind of so-so kind of wavy, because I'm like, we all need help, quite frankly. In my humble opinion, every motherfucker walking this earth needs a therapist. Every therapist, every basketball player, every football player, every doctor, every lawyer, every nurse, every fast food worker, every student, every child, everybody needs a goddamn therapist because life will fuck you up. Plain and simple. Even if life don't fuck you up, there are things in life that are fucked up that are going to happen to you, rich or poor, black or white, purple, green, whatever, no matter who you are, where you're from, there are some traumatic ass things that are going to have some difficult things that you are going to have to deal with in life, and you're not necessarily going to know how to navigate that shit, and a therapist does wonders for that kind of shit. We all have to deal with death. It don't matter how rich you ever become in this world, how quote unquote important you become in this world, how much clout you gain. We all gonna die. Each and every last one of us are going to die. Each and every last one of us are gonna have somebody important to us die. And you may not know how to navigate those things. And that's where a therapist comes in. So all of us need one. So I thought that was so cool that they definitely made sure to mention that, yes, even you as a aspiring therapist need to think about going to therapy or having a therapist on the payroll because you need one too. So yeah, I think that's awesome that they brought that up. And then just, you know, as one of my assignments in one of my classes, I believe it was my legal and ethical class that I had to take. One of the assignments was to creatively show how I engage in self-care. So my idea was to get a dry erase board, a small dry erase board, and make basically some guidelines for how I engage in self-care. So I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but I'll glaze over it. I don't mind sharing a little bit. So I have four different quadrants. I have it broken up into a square, a rectangle. That rectangular whiteboard is broken up into four quadrants. And each one serves a purpose. One is the check-in of just me speaking to myself, thinking to myself, how are you? And then even after the how are you, it's for real, sir. How are you feeling? Because, you know, sometimes, even though you should know by now that you can't lie to yourself, you can lie to everybody else, but you can't lie to yourself. You can't lie to Black baby Jesus, and you can't lie to yourself, you know? But sometimes you try to, and you'll be like, how are you? I'm okay. Are you really? Are you really? Are you just saying that so we can move the conversation along? Because, you know, sometimes people ask you that. They'll say, how you feeling? Or how are you doing? Or how are you? And you'll say, I'm okay. And really, some people are just asking you out of, like, courtesy. Like, the courtesy of a conversation, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say, ask somebody how they are. Even if you don't really give a shit. Some people ask you how you are and they don't really give a damn how you are. They're just doing it so they can get to what they want to talk about or get to what they want to ask you about. But I feel like if you're going to ask yourself this, you need to make sure you do the double take of, are you really okay? Or are you really fine? Or are you just bullshitting? And then the question after that one I have is, are your base needs met? Everybody's base needs are different. My needs are going to be different from your needs, from somebody else's. For some people, it's going to be, you know, have I eaten today? Have I drank water? Have I taken my medications? You know, have I had some sex today? You know, whatever that may consist of, are your base needs met? I think that's a very valid question that anybody can throw on their self-care. The second quadrant I have are pink flags. So everybody's heard of red flags. These are obvious, like bad. These are bad signs, bad omens, red alert. This is bad. Pink flags are more like warning. I guess pink flag could be equivalent to the yellow signal light. Like caution. Hold on now. Let's do a check up here. And one of my pink flags, in fact, the only one I have under here specifically, for me personally, a pink flag is not getting at least 6 hours of sleep multiple nights in a row. Now, for most of us adulting, getting 8 to 10 hours every night is not always going to happen. Sometimes we have sleeping issues. Sometimes we have a lot on our mind. Sometimes we have a lot of shit to get done so that by the time we go to sleep, we don't get to sleep until late and we have to wake up early. Or even if you have to wake up early, you still go to bed pretty late for whatever reason, whether it's a good reason or not. But one of my pink flags for me personally, since sleep matters a great deal to me, because let me be the one to tell you, ask anybody who is important in my world, they'll tell you. In fact, if they get this question wrong, you should know they don't know me that well. I value sleep over most things, if not everything. I value sleep over almost everything. Like, sleep over everything. I'm the person that if I'm taking a nap or I'm going to bed, my phone lives on silent anyways. But after a certain time period at night, and then for sure if I'm taking a nap during the day, my phone is on silent and do not disturb. Because here's the thing, especially for naps. Have you ever noticed how sometimes people will call you for shit when you're trying to nap and they call you and the shit ain't even important? So then they have woken you. They have now officially woken you up out of your sleep for no reason, essentially, because if it's not important to me, that means you woke me up for no reason or for some shit that could have waited until you took your nap and then woke up. Because, of course, they'll be like, oh, were you sleeping? I didn't mean to disturb you. And it's like, well, you've disturbed me now, so what's up? And then they'll tell you what's up, and you'll be like, you called me for this bullshit? I ought to jump through this phone and smack the shit out of you and go back to sleep. You bastard. Anywho, if you know me, I value sleep above everything. So a pink flag for me personally is not getting 6 hours, at least 6 hours of sleep multiple nights in a row. So that's Like, let's say we're looking at a week. We're looking at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Let's say Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I get like 5 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep, 5.5 hours of sleep. By Thursday, I'm going to be, self-wise, I'm not going to be doing too well. Almost a guarantee, I'm not going to be doing too well. The next section I have is red flags. So, of course, red flags don't need much explanation. These are, whoa, 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 hold your horses. We might be in some real trouble here if this is what we're looking at. So, under red flags, I have a persistent feeling of anger or frustration. I might be in trouble if I'm stress eating. Where my stress eaters at? What's up, y'all? What up? What up? What up? Yeah, when you reaching for some sweets, when you reaching for that bacon double cheeseburger with the curly fries, when you reaching for that whole pie, when you reaching for all the cookies, cake, and ice cream, when you want to just sit on the couch and tear through as much food as humanly possible, all the fried chicken and shit. When you're snapping off at people for no reason, or you're snapping off at them for reasons, but it's like little small shit that, in the grand scheme of things, your reaction, your emotional reaction to shit is like supercharged. Like, it's some little bullshit that, yeah, you have a right to be mad about, but it ain't really nothing that big. And you snap completely the fuck off on somebody about something, that, at least for me, that's a very bad sign. And then, just like I said, with that, realizing that my patience is a lot shorter, or my fuse is shorter, that I'm quicker to anger, I might be in trouble self-wise, that I might not be caring for myself in the ways I need to be. And the last section I have for my personal self-care is literally a list of the things that I can do to relax, to bring myself back to center. From everybody's list is going to be different. Mine include things like, play video games, pleasure read, stream some movie and TV shows with my phone away. Definitely a big one on this one is shutdown mode, which includes phone going on do not disturb, out of sight, completely out of my sight, unless I'm using it to listen to music. Otherwise, I don't need my phone at all. If I'm going to be doing these other activities, playing video games, watching movies, watching TV shows, keep my phone completely away from myself so that I am to myself, that I'm spending time with me. And me and only me, not worried about who's texting me, who's calling me, no, not bothering about anybody or anything else other than me. Taking a mental health day if I need to. Like, if I need a day away from everyone and everything, just time to myself, that I share that with whoever I need to share that with, and take a day to myself to get myself back together, to recalibrate, to make sure I eat a good meal, talk to some important people, because I know with the way I adult, I don't always get the chance to talk to everybody that I'd like to talk to all the time. So, especially if I haven't talked to somebody in a long time, I may call up one of my good friends that I haven't talked to in a while and catch up with them. That always lifts my spirits, or usually lifts my spirits. Cooking, just whatever I can do to help get myself back to normal, or back to even Steven. And last but not least, telling these motherfuckers no. Because, that's just it. Sometimes you gotta just tell niggas no, because that's the thing. A lot of times you're getting pulled at from all different directions, and everybody has these expectations of you, but nobody's asking how you feeling, or you don't look too hot. Are you okay? How you feeling? And really genuinely giving a shit about how you feel and caring about you. They're just trying to get what they can get from you, but basically they're taking, but they're not giving back. They're not actually checking in on you, making sure you're okay. And that can destroy you if you're not taking care of yourself, and you're hoping that these people are going to give you the care that you're giving them. You might be in a world of hurt. You will probably be in a world of hurt, the way the world works typically. So I think you have to prioritize the care that you give to others. You have to prioritize your self-care like you prioritize all these other people's care that you give to them, but over their care. That, yes, I'm not saying don't care about people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying care about yourself above caring about everybody else. Like, care about everybody else, but care about yourself first and foremost. Because here's the thing. You can't do, in the grand scheme of things, you can't really do shit for anybody else until you're taken care of. The way I think about it, and I'm sure somebody, millions of people have come up with this concept before me, but the way I think about it is the way they explain it to you on an airplane, where if you're in an emergency situation and those little oxygen masks pop out and you need to put them on, and you, let's say you have somebody else you're trying to help put their mask on, make sure your shit is fastened and tight and you're getting what you need, you're getting the oxygen flow to you before you try to help somebody else fasten their mask. Don't try to help somebody else and your mask just floating in the air, you ain't worried about yourself, because, you know what I mean, that's like, if let's say both of us are drowning, and instead of trying to get both of us out, I'm just helping you. I'm still drowning, but I'm helping you make sure you don't drown. That's great and all. It'll help you. You won't drown. But then in the process of me trying to help you, I might destroy myself. Whereas if I take care of myself and make sure I'm taken care of, then take care of you right after, we can both live. We can both be doing great. You know what I mean? So I think that for self-care, it's so important. Like, it's so important that, you know, you have to prioritize it above everybody else. Because that's the thing. Going back to this idea of the people who give the most in this world, the people who are the most unselfish, those people tend to give and give and give and give. And before they know it, if they're not paying attention and they're not monitoring themselves for themselves, they'll have given up every piece of energy, time, and talent for everybody else, and they will be on absolute E. That their gaslight will have been on for so long, and they will burn themselves out. Personal story. When I was in grad school the first time around, for my public health master's, there was a time where I was running myself ragged. I was in the library until very late hours, studying, reading, writing papers, and I was tired as shit. I was also working full time still, and I was wearing myself out. But I kept telling myself, "Hey, you got to do what you got to do. This schooling is not cheap, and you need to be getting every bit of it you can and give it everything you got to do your absolute best," to the point that I was willing to burn myself out. And I wasn't even paying attention that I was burning myself out, giving my time and attention and energy to try to give it to school, give it to work, give it to helping other people, but I wasn't taking care of myself. And it got to a point where I remember I was doing one of my presentations for one of my classes, and I want to say shortly after my presentation, or shortly before it, or something like that. I can't remember exactly what happened. I just remember somewhere in there, I had a panic attack. I had a full-blown panic attack, and it was like my body just freaked out, and I had no control, and I couldn't catch my breath, and I was a mess. And it was to the point that I had to finally sit outside and get myself together. And once I got myself together, fortunately, I was able to get myself together. And once I came back to myself, one of my good friends at the time was like, "Go home. Like, anything you miss, I will catch you up on. But you need to go home. Go get some sleep. Get something to eat. Play some video games. Don't do anything related to this school. Do not pick up any schoolwork. Do not pick up any books related to school. You need to relax. Sleep, eat, and center." And that's exactly what I did. I went home. Like, I almost fought them up. They were like, "I don't want to hear shit you got to say. Go home. You good." Like, even the professor was like, "It's perfectly understandable. Like, just, you're okay. Go ahead." So, of course, I went, you know, I went home and I did that. And that was the one and only time I've had to be in that situation, and God willing, I will never put myself in that situation again. That caring for yourself is so important, and making sure you're getting enough sleep, making sure you're eating, trying to eat healthy, Making sure you are taking care of your body and your mind and your emotional states. Just making sure that you are taking care of yourself, mind, body, and soul. So that if nobody else is taking care of you, you're taking care of you. So that at the end of the day, you're not burning yourself out talking about, when is somebody going to replenish me? Like, yes, it's a valid question, but you need to be replenishing you so that you're always good. That no matter what happens, you're okay. With that in mind, I think I'm going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about another viewpoint of self-care, or another version of self-care. You are listening to Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. We're back. We're back to this week's episode of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs, the season finale for season 3. I believe I'm going to title it Worry About Yourself. Worry about yourself. We're talking about self-care. Like I said before, in a previous episode, I did talk about self-care. But I had another spin on it. I'm not sure. I may have even talked about this in that self-care episode. But if I did, this will just be one big rehashing ass episode with a little bit of new material sprinkled in. If I am indeed correct and I didn't talk about this aspect, then here's the other spin on it. So I talked about self-care in the respect of just you, yourself, me, myself, and I, like by yourself. But another version of self-care is self-care in respects to your relationships. And when I say relationships, you already know where I'm going with this. We're not just talking about romantically. We're not just talking about sexually. We're talking about the relationships you have with your family, the relationships you have with your friends, the relationships you have with your coworkers, the relationships you have romantically and sexually too. But we're talking about all your respective relationships, all your connections, caring about yourself in those situations. It's very adjacent to what we've already been talking about before, but it's within these relationships, making sure that, you know, that your needs are met. Because it's one thing when we're talking about you by yourself caring for yourself, but when it comes to being connected to people, whether we're talking about friendships, relationships, fuck buddies, whatever, you are now talking about more than one person's set of needs. You're not just talking about one set of needs in this situation. You're talking about at least two people's needs. And what happens sometimes is you get into these connections, friend-wise, family-wise, relationship-wise, where one person is giving, 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 and one person is taking, 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 taking. Like, they're not giving anything back. They're not caring about your needs. They're not attending to that person who's taking and only taking. They are not attending to the other person's needs. They're not giving anything back to the situation. They are just taking and taking in everything they can, taking it for what it's worth. They're taking in as much as they can, as often as they can, and not giving anything back. And this is like being within any of those types of relationships and saying yes to everything and being 100% agreeable all the time is not to rock the boat, because there are people who do that. These are usually your giver people. There are people who don't know how to have, who don't know how to have a conversation with the people that they are in connection with, that they don't know how to have a disagreement with somebody they are connecting with. And because they don't know how to have these things, that they assume that a disagreement means that their shit is going to hell in a handbasket, that any conflict means that the ship is sinking, everything's fucked up. So the only way to have a positive, have those fairy tale relationships or the relationship they would like to have, means they have no disagreements, no disputes, nothing. And the only way to only way you have that happen is if you agree with everything the other person says. If you just 100% agree with them, and anytime it looks like y'all heading towards a disagreement, that you just automatically fold and you don't rock the boat. You say, okay, whatever you say, whatever's going to solve the situation, okay, cool. So what that usually ends up, what usually ends up happening with that is that means that person's needs are going to get met, that the person that you're folding to the person that you're 100% agreeing with all the time, and you're not going against anything they say or do, or at least going against anything they say or do to them directly, that what will happen is you will build up resentment. That at some point in time, you are building up that resentment, that you are slowly internally building that hatred for them, that aggravation for them, that annoyance with them, because you're somewhere in you, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether it's your mind, body, or soul, something in you is going to let you know, hey, I'm giving a lot here. Something's going to eventually click, like, hey, I'm really doing a lot here, and this person isn't. But this person, I'm giving and giving and giving to this person, but they're not giving back. They're not contributing anything to this. They are just taking me for everything I got and taking everything that I can offer to them without offering to give anything in return or anything useful or relevant to me in return. And that me being a yes man or a yes woman or a yes whatever you claim and whatever whoever you are in this world, that you're giving 100%. You're saying yes to everything, that it's getting you nowhere, that you find yourself extremely unhappy, that this isn't going to work for you anymore, and it will lead to the resentment. And that resentment's going to build until it crushes you and you eventually explode, that you're going to have to say something. You know, that in the respect of family and friends, it's, you know, you often will have family come up to you and they will throw every excuse in the book at you to try to guilt you and shame you into always being there for them, even when they're wrong or even when they've done something wrong and they need to acknowledge that. And they just want to bypass them admitting that they're wrong and just get to the part where you forgive them and are back to accepting their bullshit. That they will throw every excuse in the book at you. Like they will throw time as an excuse. For friends, they tend to throw time of, oh, we've known each other for this long. Like, are we really going to let this get in between us? I've known you for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 40 years. Like, it doesn't matter how long you've known the person. If they're on some bullshit and they don't want to acknowledge it, there's a problem. Doesn't matter how long y'all have known each other. It has to be acknowledged and it has to be dealt with. If it isn't, then it might be time to say goodbye. But a lot of people will use time as an excuse of why you should forgive them without them having to acknowledge their wrongdoing in the situation. With family, they try to use something a little bit even more potent than that. They'll try to throw in, you know, blood is thicker than water, you know, we're family. No matter what happens in this world, we're always going to be family. So you should, in light of that, you should forgive me for my bullshit, or you should be accepting of my bullshit and I shouldn't have to apologize, or I don't have to admit that I'm wrong. And, you know, all different types of familial relationships are good for that shit. You'll have older generations trying to throw that shit in there. You'll have parents trying to throw that at the kids, grandparents trying to throw that at kids. You know, that you'll have kids trying to throw that at their parents of, oh, I'm your child, you're supposed to always love me. What love got to do with me accepting your bullshit? Like, you can entirely love somebody and not be accepting of their bullshit. Like, though, you don't have to love somebody and accept all their bullshit just carte blanche. Like, here you go, I love you, so because I love you, I'm going to accept every horrible decision you decide to make and just accept you as you are, even if you're being extremely raggedy towards me and making raggedy decisions continuously. No, I don't have to accept that shit. I can love you from a distance, my nigga. I can always love you from a distance. It's real easy. It's called, I love so-and-so. I don't really fuck with them like that on a regular basis, but I love them. I love them. I care about their well-being, but I don't fuck with them like that. Real easy to do. So, you know, family and friends can and will try to pull one over on you to try to get you to just bypass their bullshit, but don't let them, don't allow it. People will only try that shit and keep pushing that shit if you allow it. If you don't allow it, it won't get by. They'll either have to acknowledge, make that acknowledgement and do the work and do better, or they'll be put out. And if they get put out, it's on them. That is completely on them. It is what it is. Like, it sucks to have to have friendships and even family relationships dissolve, and you have to put people out or keep people away or only talk to people on certain occasions, like funerals and weddings and shit. And that's the only time you speak to them. You don't answer phone. You stop answering phone calls. You don't answer emails. You block them on social media. You know, if that's what it comes to, that's what it comes to. You have to protect yourself, which is what this episode is about. You have to protect yourself. And part of protecting yourself is setting appropriate boundaries, like letting these people know, letting these motherfuckers know, here is the line. Here is my line with you. You are not crossing this line. Or here's the line, don't cross it. If you choose to cross it, I will be forced to do what I have to do. And that includes, but is not limited to, blocking you on all social medias and or ignoring all your phone calls and text messages and attempts to visit me and all that good shit. I'll just ignore you. I'll just completely put you out of my life and disavow any knowledge of, I will Mission Impossible your ass, and I will disavow any knowledge of knowing you. I will pretend you don't exist, or I'll pretend you're dead, one or the other. If that's what it comes down to, if you are threatening my health, my sanity, my space, and you just intent on breaking through my boundaries and saying, fuck your boundaries, I'm gonna do what I want, and you're gonna deal with it, then I'm gonna have to do what I have to do. And that's what you should do as well. That's just my advice. You ain't got to follow me. I don't know anything. I'm just some dude with a podcast. And I'm just, you know, any motherfucker can have a podcast. So I definitely don't know. I would say you just have to listen to what I'm saying. I'm just the guy. But I would say you might want to think that one over. Like, you know, that was something that was passed on to me, and I'm just passing it on to y'all. Just, you know, you set appropriate boundaries and help make people respect those boundaries. If people really want to be in your life, they'll do it. Now, while we're still talking about boundaries and you know, just self-care in relation to relationships, we have to talk about romance. We have to talk about the elephant in the room, this in relation to your relationships, your romantic relationships, because, you know, there are so many consequences to not caring for yourself, even within that relationship, even within the weeness of it. Because, yeah, when you get with somebody, it's no longer just about you. It's about you and that person together. The thing is, some people, when they think of people getting in relationships, they think about getting with somebody and combining everything, like every aspect of their life, every single part of their life, every moment of their life. All those things are now shared. Everything. Every minute, every second, every hour, 24/7, 365, everything is shared. And the thing is, that's all well and good. I'm saying to a certain level, yes. I'm not saying you don't you don't have to learn how to share things once you begin a relationship. However, I would venture to just put it in the way of, and hopefully this makes sense, of not losing yourself in a relationship. Because you know what I'm talking about when I say making sure not to lose yourself in a relationship. That before you got into this full-blown, exclusive, serious relationship, you had your hopes, your own hopes, dreams, desires, wants, needs, and things going on. And what tends to happen is that you have people who get into these relationships with people and they completely throw all those things away and sacrifice all those things, all their wants and needs and desires and hopes for the future, their dreams for the future. They sacrifice all that stuff for the sake of that person, the other person in the relationship, that they sacrifice their dreams for that person's dreams, that they will completely sacrifice, like they will destroy their own career path just to help out their significant other, their partner, their spouse, and fuck what they were going to do. They're all for this person's thing. Or they think that, oh, I'm going to support this person's dreams. And when it comes time for, when the time comes around and we have supported their dreams, it's going to be my turn. And you flip around and you do that and come to find out, they're like, oh, no, that's not what's going to happen. We're still supporting my dreams. And that's what we're going to continue doing. We're going to support my dreams forever. Your dreams are on the back burner forever. And people get stuck in these terrible ass situations where now your life is centered entirely around this person and y'all's relationship, to the point that you have no separate identity, that you are not even a separate entity outside of this relationship. You are just this relationship, and you're lost in there. And it's not, I don't think it's a way to live. I don't think it's a way to be, because it sounds like a horrible existence to me, that the things that matter to you no longer matter, that it's now all about this other person, and it's all for the sake of continuing to be in a relationship. So that's why I always say, for romantic relationships, I definitely would advocate having a life outside of that person. I'm not saying have an entire secret life outside of that person. That's not what I'm saying. Don't leave this podcast talking about, oh, Trent was on his podcast talking about you should have a secret life. We are not talking about the secret lives of Zach and Cody on this bitch. We are talking about having a life, having your, still aspiring for your own hopes and dreams, but, you know, within the context of a relationship, that person, if they're really your partner, your spouse, and the person you're sharing your life with, if they're truly meant to be your significant other, they should be supporting your dreams. They should be supportive of you pursuing your dreams. That is actually a red flag of a relationship. That if they are never supportive of your dreams, of your wants, of your desires within the relationship, that is a big motherfucking red flag. That if they are never, ever supportive of you, that if they're not, your partner should be aspiring to be the kind of partner that if they see you slacking, and what you aspire to get done, that they should at least try to encourage you and ask about you getting things done. Like, things that you say you want to get done, that if they notice you're not making any progress or you've stopped making progress on those things, that they at least ask about them. They don't have to, I'm not saying they have to hound you about it, but they should at least ask you about it from time to time. Like, hey, I remember you said you were working on this. How's that going? Or that if you've gotten stagnant in it, that they encourage you to figure out why you're stagnant and how to get you back on track. That if they really care about you as a person, that they will do that kind of shit. If they aren't, you should be wary. So to me, like I said, I advocate for having a life outside of your boo thing, that you don't completely enmesh with your lover to the point where your needs get squashed, that your dreams get squashed in the process, and they just get thrown to the wayside entirely, forever, never to be seen again. And they're just locked away. And that person, your partner, is determined to keep those things locked away so that they can continue living their best life, that what you need and what you want doesn't matter to them. That, you know, you definitely have to care about yourself. You definitely have to look after yourself. I'm not saying put yourself above all else at all times, because if that's what you're going to do, you probably shouldn't be in a relationship of any kind. Because eventually being in a good relationship of any kind means at some point, yes, there probably will be compromise and some sacrifice. I'm not saying you are supposed to sacrifice your entire being or even a majority of your being for the sake of this relationship, but you have to be willing to give. There has to be give and take. There has to be both. That if you are not giving both, if you're not getting both the give and the take, that you have to start considering leaving. Yeah, that's right. You have to consider, if your needs are no longer being met, if you feel that you aren't being taken care of the way you need to be taken care of, that, and they're not trying to hear different, they're not trying to do different, they're not trying to hear your perspective and hear that you're not happy with how things are, and that you, if you're saying you want to work things out and they're kind of like, I kind of don't want to do that. I kind of want things to stay exactly how they are, and I don't know what to tell you. You get that kind of situation, you may have to consider exiting yourself from the situation. Now, the problem with that is, What you're going to run into, resistance, especially if this person is getting what they want from the situation, because they will Of course they're going to fight for it, because then that means they lose. If you leave, they lose out on the benefits they've been receiving from you giving, and them taking, and not giving anything back. They lose out on those benefits. They now have to do some work by themselves. They have to, those things that they're able to do now, they'll have to work to get to maintain those things, because you're no longer there to give them that support. And if they're not willing to change to make the situation better for you, if you feel like you're not being taken care of, you know, they'll try to, like I said, a lot of times people will go for the guilt trip, that, you know, people love to use time. People love to use time as an excuse for why you should stay in some bullshit. And just like I talked about it for friendships and family, people in relationships do it too. They'll be like, we've been together for X amount of years. Like, you really gonna throw all that away? Or you put all this time and energy into this. It's been X amount of years. It's been X amount of months. We didn't put all this time and energy. We've put so much money towards this. And you really just gonna throw it all away? Like, people will try to guilt you into staying. That, oh, you know, it's been so long, you may as well just stick it out now. Like, you know, even if you're unhappy, you should just stick it out, because it's been this many years. There's no hope for anything better. Or, you know, you should just stick it out because you're supposed to stick it out. Because I know not all people's parents and not all cultures, but different cultures and different people's parents will tell you, have definitely told their children, hey, you know, marriage means you're supposed to stick it out forever. That marriage means forever. You made vows in front of God, so you're supposed to stay in that forever, no matter what happens. And it's like, until death do us part. In the wise words of Michael Kyle, nah. Because, I mean, the thing is, I don't know if you really want to consider that piece of advice coming from marriage, seeing as how, if we want to keep it funky, marriage is, I mean, although some people think of marriage as supposed to be about love, yes, love should be in there, but if we're going to keep it funky, marriage is also a legal matter, that really, back in the day, the main function of marriage was for legal purposes, that's what it served, that people weren't getting married necessarily for love. It was for legal means. It was to get yourself out of the situation that you were in into a better financial and better living situation than you would be by yourself. You being married puts you in a better positioning, life-wise, financially speaking, socially speaking. And that was the purpose of marriage. It wasn't necessarily for love, but that's a whole episode in and of itself. All I'm saying is, do not let religions or family or your culture guilt you into staying into a marriage where you're not yourself. You are not being cared for how you need to be cared for, and that you are unhappy and the other person is completely unwilling to change or do anything about it. Do not let them guilt you into staying because of time and because it's socially unacceptable to divorce and all that shit. Fuck all that. If you are not happy and you end up getting married to this person, don't be afraid to hit that divorce button. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be easy now, especially once y'all have been married for a while and you decide to, you know. Some people have the situation where they have prenup signed and they had things signed. Like I said, marriage is definitely a legal situation. Don't ever forget it. That, you know, some people sign prenups to where, hey, if the marriage dissolves, this is how it's going to go down, so that way it's a clean break. Some people have those kind of things written up in signed documents, and some people don't, and it's just split down the middle. I'm not going to say it's not going to be difficult, but if you feel that is what's going to be necessary to find your happiness, like, you do what you have to do. Because at the end of the day, yeah, I'm saying care for self, and care for yourself enough to know that if you're the only one trying to make things better in that connection between you and that person, if you're the only one willing to change, if you're the only one willing to grow, if you're the only one willing to acknowledge your part in the situation and see how things could be better done, if you're the only one willing to go to counseling, then nothing's ever going to change. Both people involved, or all people involved in the relationship, have to be on board. If everybody's not on board, you are literally spinning your wheels. It's like a car. It's very much so like a car. A car has your average regular run-of-the-mill car that you're driving. Of course, you have your 18-wheelers and other shit, but we're talking about your regular four-wheeled cars. If you have four wheels on a car and one of those wheels decides it's not going to work anymore for whatever capacity, doesn't matter which wheel we're talking about, if one of those wheels decides it's not going to work anymore, that it's just going to do its own thing. Perfect example, if one of those tires gets a flat, it doesn't matter if the other three are working well. If that one has a flat, that flat can fuck up the entire rest of the car and fuck up all the functioning of the entire system. And that's the way you should think of relationships and friendship, that if everybody involved is not working towards the same goal, it may be time to rethink some things. It may be time for you to seek better waters. I think that's all I got. I think that's how I'm going to end this. So yes, take care of yourself. Look after yourself. I'm not saying be a selfish motherfucker 24/7. You. It's the you show 24/7. I'm saying make sure that you are not so busy out here taking care of everybody else that you forget to take care of yourself. That's really long short of it. That you make sure that you're taken care of, then you can care for other people. That's fine. Care for as many people as you choose to, but make sure that on that list of people that you care about, that you are number one on that list. So I think that's all I got for y'all. Thank y'all for listening to another episode. If you enjoyed it, please share the podcast with your family, friends, co-workers, classmates, whoever the fuck you decide to talk to. If you enjoyed this episode or you've been enjoying the podcast, share it with friends, share it with everybody. I'm on, you know, whatever you listen to podcasts on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever, Anchor, wherever you decide to listen to it, listen to this podcast. Leave me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Let me know what you like. I hope to come back next season with some brand new things, possibly with different segments. Over the break, while I'm away, while I'm focusing on school and doing my own version of self-care by not, you know, worrying myself about this podcast, that I can kind of do it at my leisure. When I have some free time here and there, I plan on taking advantage of the fact that, you know, we're in this pandemic and we're having to use things such as Zoom, that it was brought to my attention that when you're on Zoom, that you can record some of your conversations with people. And not only can you record them visually and audio, but when you record those things, it will automatically split for you the audio from that whole scenario. So if I have a conference with somebody and I interview them and it splits off the audio for me, I can easily upload that into a podcast episode. So that means that I can reach anybody anywhere now, that I can officially reach people that I previously wouldn't have been able to. And as long as we both have decent internet working for us, we should be able to get some podcast episodes going. So I can get the material over the next couple of months, and when I come back, hopefully have enough material for a couple of episodes to just be scheduled and ready to hit your ears as soon as I decide to come back. So that is the hope. I hope in that time period that I finish this last semester before I start my practicum with more A's, that work continues to go well for me, that I'm able to interview a couple of different people that I've been wanting to interview and have as guests on my podcast for a while, that are in different aspects. So I'm talking doulas, I'm talking sex workers, I'm talking about people who I just know are very open-minded and free when it comes to sexuality and talking about relationship stuff. I hope to have an episode for y'all with my old college roommates to see to kind of go back to how we used to think about things and how we think about things now, because we're at least 10 years removed from college and so much has happened. Like of my old college roommates, it's so funny because, like, you know, we're all at different places in life, relationship wise, and different places job wise, and different places location wise. And I want us to be able to all come together and discuss where we've come from and where we are today. And so I hope to get that done for y'all and have some really entertaining episodes for y'all. So until then, please take care of yourselves. I mean, that's the name of this episode, after all, the season finale of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs Season 3. Take care of yourself. Watch out for yourself, you know? Care for yourself. But in all seriousness, take care of yourself. You know, be safe. Stay your black, brown, purple, white, whatever color your ass is. Keep your ass in the house. And, you know, be safe so we can get a little bit more freedom and, you know, try to get a little bit closer to normalcy. Nothing will quite ever be the same, but be safe. Clearly, I'm not going to be back till after this year's election. So please go out there and vote. Please go out there and vote. Like, black people are still getting shot every goddamn day. And it's so aggravating, so depressing. And we still have an orange fuck piece of shit in office. Please let me not come back to a new episode and we still have an orange fuck in presidency. Like, please, I am begging you, please go vote. Vote for your national offices as well as your local and state officials. Like, vote, my motherfuckers, vote. Please go vote. Do not write in any errant bullshit. Don't go vote for Kanye's stupid ass, who clearly needs to be in therapy. Make a vote and make your vote count, and don't waste it. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Love each other. Get the dick and pussy you need, and be safe out there. I love y'all. Take care. Peace.